This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's you and me.
It's Denise and Dave.
It's us against the world. No, I'm just kidding.
Sometimes it does feel like that, Dave.
It does.
Sometimes it does.
Occasionally.
Yes.
Yeah. So welcome to Wednesdays with Denise, our third installment today.
Third time's a charm. This is going to be great.
Yeah. I guess you passed the test the first
time. Did I? Okay. Yeah. You can stay.
You can. All right. You can do it. All right. Brent's taking the Wednesdays off. Wednesdays with Denise. We're underway. We have a great guest in the studio today. Who is...
We have David Darnell. We're going to talk to David. David is a CD5 chair. He also represents StopTheAbuse-RecallKateBrown.com. So David is here to talk to us about the Oregon Republican Party recall effort and all things to do with that. We've got some funny stuff to share, some good information, setting the record straight on some things.
Good.
And so we'll get to that
in a
little bit.
We need to do that a lot.
We do. There's a lot of misinformation out there.
And, all the time.
I know. It's crazy. And rumors and, you know, somebody said this and then you've got a telephone game and by the time it gets to the other line, it's like, wait, what?
What'd
they
say? That
doesn't make any sense.
No.
So we're going to clear up some misinformation, give people some updates because things are happening fast and furious. And so that's why we invited David to come on and talk about that.
So I have disheartening information that I heard about the recall, David, that they're just, it's an effort that's kind of like a losing effort. Do you feel that way?
No, I don't feel that way at all.
Okay,
no,
good.
Not at all.
That fixes it a little bit.
That's one of the things we want to clear up because there is misinformation, there's spin happening, and there's things maybe, you know, we can launch right into that now
yeah,
if you like.
Let's do it.
So David, again, CD5 chair, you are here representing StopTheAbuse-RecallKateBrown.com. Welcome to Newsmakers on Wednesdays with Denise.
Well, thanks for having me on. We're now Dave Squared here.
Dave right. Squared.
Hey.
And wait a minute, I'm a D, so
oh,
never mind.
We're triple
not,
D.
We're triple D.
We're D3.
D3?
That's yeah. It. Right, D3. Yeah.
D3.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Is that a triangle? If two is squared, is three a triangle?
On a D?
It's a trapezoid.
D triangle?
Let's be yeah. A trapezoid.
Hey, you know, it's a big, to address Dave's question yeah. Or concern, it's a big hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
We need 280,050 valid signatures.
Yeah.
And that is a heavy lift. So we're looking to get 320,000-340,000 signatures to account for those that may be disqualified by people who thought they were registered to vote and weren't, or mm-hmm. somehow messed up. But we think we can get there. There's thousands of people that have stepped forward to request petitions. They want to get out there and get them signed. And the response has been overwhelming.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing it all over social media. And granted, I mean, I would probably travel in the same social media circles you do, so we're going to be seeing it a lot. Are you finding that you're getting requests from unlikely individuals, meaning Democrats and certainly non-affiliated voters?
We are getting at least 20% of our requests are coming from Democrats, unaffiliated voters, and other non-Republican parties, which is a huge percentage.
That is huge.
That's interesting.
But, you know, I'm not surprised. Again, we saw with the 2019 legislative session that it was such an overreach that it was sort of very brutal for a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. There were a number of issues that crossed party lines. Are you seeing some of the sort of that coming downhill from that?
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the reasons that I think the Oregon Republican Party leadership decided to file this recall is we saw toward the end of the session bills that were representing quite a bit of legislative overreach mm-hmm. and were affecting broad swaths of Oregonians. We saw a lot of Democrat, a lot of non-Republican pushback in 3063.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We see that every single time there's a gun control bill,
yeah.
We see a lot of pushback from Democrats as well. The big one, though, is HB 2015, which gave driver's licenses to illegal aliens, which is, you know, and and most people who are politically active know, was a measure 88 in 2014, mm-hmm. and it passed with a two-thirds majority.
Yeah.
So that's a significant two-thirds majority in Oregon is a significant amount of Democrats.
So you know that crossed party lines.
It did, yeah, yeah. You don't get to 67 or 68%,
right.
And not have a lot of Democrats.
The only county I think it failed in by a squeaker margin was Multnomah County.
Yeah, I believe so.
It won every county in the state.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you, now you have a governor and a legislature that's come forward and basically is sort of turning up their noses at the will of the people. I don't think that sits well with Oregonians.
I don't think it does. I don't think it sits well with Oregonians of any party persuasion. I don't think the Democrats that gave Oregon their supermajority considered that supermajority would just throw them in the back seat and tell them to sit down and shut up. This is where we're going.
Yeah, I think that tends to rankle people and kind of make them put them back a little bit on their heels and say, no. So, you know, like Dave said, sort of the elephant in the room, I guess, there are a lot of people out there trying to poo-poo the effort as if it's an impossibility, it can never happen. What do you say to them?
Well, the press is certainly going to do that. The press is, for the most part, in the pocket of the Democratic supermajority. So we've seen a lot of, it's impossible, no way you can get there, it's never happened, there's only been, this many governors ever recalled in the history of civilization. So we see a lot of that, to those people is, you're right, it hasn't happened until it happens.
Exactly.
And we've seen a huge grassroots uprising in Oregon. We've seen Timber Unity. We've seen medical freedom.
Mm-hmm. Oregonians for Medical Freedom.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's been tremendous. It's the biggest thing I've seen probably since the Tea Party in 2009. Yeah, and so with that kind of motivation, that kind of participation, that kind of broad support, I think we have a very good chance of getting on the ballot. And with the amount of Democrats that are signing, the amount of Democrats that are saying, yeah, we're a little tired of this, it might pass, too.
And I think the low approval rating of Governor Kay Brown will help. She's a recent poll came out. She was
47 out of 50 governors, 47. And that same, I think it's the same poll that
least
showed
popular.
That the top 10 most popular are all Republican governors, some of them even in, more blue states.
Right.
So, I think those numbers have to play something into it. You know, if you were a fly on the wall in the campaign offices, do you think they're concerned about this or are they just kind of keeping it off to the side? I mean, any idea, any sense of that at all?
I don't have a sense, from the Democrats as far as what they think about
mm-hmm.
You mentioned her approval ratings.
Yeah.
She was, the article came out that she is one of the most unpopular governors
right.
in the entire United States. But we also did polling before we filed this recall. And she has an actual approval rating, that approval rating survey poll mm-hmm. that you always see all
yeah,
the time,
yeah.
In the 20s.
Yikes.
I think it was 22%.
I would think from a political perspective, that has to have some people at least concerned.
Just a little.
But maybe. Granted, she's not running for re-election.
She's
a lame duck governor, so she doesn't have to do that. So how much time do we have? So I want to come back, and because one of the criticisms is that this is just a fundraising mechanism for that. So let's talk a little bit about that. Some of the spin out there. I don't want to spend too much time on that because I really want to focus on the momentum and what's happening within the Oregon Republican Party and then the people that are coming in. So we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Newsmakers Wednesdays with Denise, and we will be right back after this short break.
This is Lindman & Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. Welcome back to Newsmakers and Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. Brent is off on Wednesdays now, so And he's probably out fishing or something.
It's a perfect day for it. He's a smart guy if he is.
Or golf. I think he's taking up golf.
That works. So. That works. Hey, you're not going to fault the man for a little leisure time.
No.
We've been talking to David Darnell, who's here representing Stop the Abuse-RecallKateBrown.com. He's also CD5 chair, part of the Oregon Republican Party. David, before we went on our break, we were talking a little bit about some concerns that this is nothing more than just a fundraising mechanism for the other side.
Well, there's a few misconception. Well, they're fabrications. There's always a lot of pushback from Democrats and progressives against anything that can be remotely called Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've heard some, just outlandish stories from people that the Oregon Republican Party is working for Kate Brown.
That made me just, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, shake my head.
Yeah, I mean, we spent $1.3 million last year trying to defeat her, yeah. So I'm not sure how we got around to that. But yeah, ridiculous stories like that are being put out by a really small majority of people mm-hmm. that just don't like Republicans.
Yeah,
We've been told that, or people have been told that you can't carry. There is another petition, by the way. I need to bring that up, and that you can't carry. Both petitions. Well, I just got, was reading my phone here at the break, and I just got confirmation from the Elections Division that that's entirely untrue. I mean, you can carry as many petitions as you want.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, I've carried petitions for years, and it's as easy to get a signature on one as it is on six.
Exactly.
And so, there's pushback. People don't like, there's always going to be people that don't like what Republicans do. We've received, a number of fairly nasty phone calls from people who are probably not Republicans.
Gee, what gave them away, I wonder.
Yeah. And to be honest, we have received some thoughtful phone calls as well from people who are Republicans who are concerned, that this might not be the best course of action. And to be honest with you, many in leadership probably thought the same thing.
Yes.
Up mm-hmm. until the final days of the legislature, when things were taking a horrible turn for the worse, and we got to that tipping point, and there was enough groundswell of both Republicans and just ordinary non-affiliated people or non-political people came to us and said, we need to do something. And mm-hmm. we felt like we were just backed into a corner and there was nothing else to do.
And it sounds like you listen to constituents. I mean, you listen to the concerns of people saying we need to do something in this. I know a lot of conversations had happened because there was a little bit of a shift in this. But it really is listening to constituents and, those who not necessarily are, they may be of the other party, but it's really listening to the people and providing an avenue to do something.
It is. I mean, the party apparatus per se as it exists
yeah.
exists to serve the 700,000 plus Republicans that are registered in Oregon.
So you talk about bringing 700,000 plus registered Republicans and resources that come along with that behind this effort. I mean, that to me seems like it would push it a little farther as far as validity and push it up the road toward success.
Yeah, that's what we were hoping. We were hoping that bringing our as you say 700,000 registered Republicans, bringing our organization some professional staff and some financial resources to the mm-hmm. table, we could help push this thing over the top.
So one of the things I'm seeing as well is there's some confusion about single sheets, 10 sheets. How do I sign? Do I go? Is there a place to go sign? There's been some confusion. I know there was a signing drive in Salem last weekend, a drive-through petition signing drive. And I think all across the state and other counties, they're doing that as well. Can you talk a little bit about sort of what the nuts and bolts of this are if somebody really wants to, number one, get involved or even just at the base level, sign the petition?
Yeah, I can. By default, I've become a little bit of an expert now
uh-huh.
on how to print out petitions, what is proper, what is not. So the Stop the Abuse, Recall Kate Brown, has a website with a PDF on it that has what we call a single signature petition.
Mm-hmm.
And SB, was it 716? I forget now.
I think so.
Yeah. SB 716 was an effort by the Democrat supermajority,
yes.
I think, to squash voters' ability to, make their voice heard through either the initiative, recall, or referendum process. And that particular bill has not been signed by the governor
mm-hmm.
yet. However, I don't believe it has a significant effect, even if it does, because I was reading the language in it. And it merely says that that a person who wants to sign the single signature petition must be the same person who prints it out.
Okay.
So if you're a volunteer or you want to get a bunch of signatures, you can go to Stop the Abuse, Recall Kate Brown on Facebook. You can go to the Oregon Republican Party Facebook page, and you can find this link where you can download this PDF. It is a one side. There's no second side to it. And you can sign that. You print it out from the PDF, sign it, and then mail it back into our office. What you can't do is print out a bunch of those and pass them out.
Okay.
That's what that, the law, if and when it goes into effect, modifies that, that system. So if you want to be one of the, gosh, I think it's up to 5,000 people now that have requested 10-line.
Wow.
Yeah, 10-line signature sheets. We have those available. They are professionally printed. They're available from the Oregon Republican Party. They're also available from most county parties right here in Marion County. Mm-hmm. You can get those petition sheets as well. As a matter of fact, I'll be delivering another 5,000 of them to the office tomorrow. And those sheets are printed both sides. We have had a link out there to print them yourself. So if you do not get the professionally printed sheets that we have available for you, in order to print them out, they have to be printed both sides on white, uncoated, 20-pound paper.
Oof. Which is standard copy paper.
Standard
copy paper you can get at any office supply store.
And the funny part about this particular file is, or the way it's formatted, is that it is a landscape on the front, that's where all the signatures go. And then on the back, where the explanation of the petition is, and that is required that it be on there, is a portrait.
Portrait.
Yeah, so we're having a little bit of difficulty sometimes with people printing them out.
Yeah, depending if you have a printer that will spit the page out, let it dry, and then bring it back in.
Right.
May have a little bit of issue with that.
Right.
So that's so you gave a lot of links and where to find that. Now, are there going to be future drive-through petition drives? We're in fair season, so we've got county fairs, we've got the Oregon State Fair. Are we going to see a presence at those?
Yes, we are. I believe every single county will have the petitions. All 36 counties across the state will have the petitions at their respective fairs and festivals. We're gathering a list of signing events in a Facebook group of the same name. That's Stop the Abuse,
Dash.
Dash. That's what you call that
dash.
Thing. Yeah.
It's a dash.
I forgot that. Stop the Abuse, Dash, Recall Kate Brown. That's a Facebook group. It's open to the public. Just ask to join. We'll approve you. And there's a number of signing events and signing places stacking up there. You know, we're just getting ramped up. It's a week and a half old now.
Yeah.
And so we're starting to see petitions are being hosted by businesses all over the state. There has been a little bit pushback from the Democrats on that, too. They're doing their usual thing.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
nothing surprising there.
Yeah, yeah. Don't go there. They have the petition. You know, and that's every time we do something, you know, they do that. So, yeah, there'll be petitions will be available at the state fair at the Oregon Republican Party booth as well. And they are always available at our office here in Salem.
That's true. The office is here in Salem now. That's a bit of a new wrinkle that's happened recently. So
it
that's
is.
A place where people can go.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. That's where we had our signing event last weekend. And I think we collected 500 signatures between the hours of, I don't know, 10 and 2.
Can you give us a flavor of what the atmosphere was like at that signing? I know there was a lot of excitement about it. There were events shared. I saw it all over my timelines that people were interested in going. How did that play out sort of logistically?
Well, fortunately, it did not cause a traffic jam.
I wondered about that. It's in an interesting location.
It is. I wondered about that myself. The parking lot was fairly large, and you could probably stack 10 cars in a U-shaped around it. And as far as I know, I wasn't there. I was doing something else that day, but I wasn't there. But as far as I know, it came off well, and the police didn't have to come and say, hey, you're blocking traffic. So.
Which would be awkward.
It would be a little awkward.
Do we have an idea, like a ballpark of how many people, how many signatures we got that came through?
Oh, there was over 500 that day.
Wow.
500 or 600. And as I think I said earlier in the broadcast, we will probably be at nearly 10,000 distributed petitions by the end of this week.
Wow. That's the momentum that's happened and how fast this has sort of caught fire is, I don't know if it's unprecedented, but maybe it is.
It's unprecedented, I believe. People are fired up. And again, I'll refer back to this great uprising, this great grassroots uprising we had in Oregon in 2019. And as a matter of fact, I think we ought to probably have a celebratory party, maybe later on in the year to celebrate that great action. But these people have stepped forward, people who have never been political before, and they want to be part of something.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about that. Can you stick around and stay, hang out with us for the
rest
of the show?
I'd love to.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about that, because there's momentum, like you said, there's momentum building. There are people that have never been involved in politics that are getting activated, getting educated, that want to get involved. So we're going to take a quick break. Again, this is we are speaking with David Darnell, who is with the Oregon Republican Party and Stop the Abuse, recallkatebrown.com. And we will be right back after these quick messages.
You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Born, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. It's Wednesdays with Denise. I'm Dave Bourne, Brent Off, of course, and our guest David Darnell is in the studio. We just had a caller clarify that the problems of, you were talking about printing out the 10-line petition where one side's landscape, one side's portrait.
Yes.
His suggestion is don't print it from the browser. Save it, open it in Adobe Reader, and it will print it correctly.
Oh.
Hey, that's great advice.
Yes.
Great listeners. That's awesome for
the Don't do it from any of the browsers because that will cause the problem.
Excellent. So Adobe's going to be able to set it up and get it right for you. Yeah. Thanks for that call.
Adobe Reader.
Yeah. Thanks.
That was great. Well, we were talking all things Stop the Abuse, recallkatebrown.com. And again, like you said, David Darnell is here to chat with us about this. There were a couple of things. There's been some funny anecdotes and some funny stories. People, I do want to have, during the break, though, we did get a text from someone who did say, who was thanking us for the truth about it. She keeps hearing no way this would work, too.
Yeah.
And she's signing the petition today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, getting the truth out, setting the record straight, I think it's important. Regardless of, you know, whatever you think about this, we need to get the truth out there. But there was one funny story that I saw, and I think, David, you actually shared this. Somebody shared it. I don't remember where I came across it, but it's a funny story. I'll just read it because it's this person, it's in their own words. I just spent 2 days at the booth at a local festival in Baker County. The booth next to us was the Democrat Party. Across the park was the Republican Party, which had copies of the petitions to recall her and to stop some of the legislation she has passed over the veto of the voters and their representatives. I saw and heard a number of people asking the Democrats if they could sign those petitions. The people there would say, well, this is the Democrats' booth. And the people would say, yes, they were Democrats and they wanted to sign it anyway. And then the man I saw in the booth wouldn't tell them where to go. So this guy stuck his 2 cents worth in and would tell them that the petitions were at the Republican booth and he showed them where it was.
Oh, nice. That's hilarious.
So I thought that was a great story. Interesting that the Democrats would think, well, I want to sign this, so I'm going to go to the Democrat booth to sign it. And no.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
You think.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you wonder who the Democrat Party is representing. Are they representing their constituents?
That's a good question.
Or are they representing the governor?
That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. Based on this anecdote, I'd say the latter.
Yeah, I would too.
We were talking a little bit about momentum, things coming up, what 2020 is going to look like, how brutal 2019 was, or coming in on a short session. Do you have a sense, you know, if you were to, you know, pull out your crystal ball and make some predictions, any sense of where you think 2020 is go based on what we're seeing with the response to the recall petition?
Are you talking about the 2020 session?
Yeah.
The 2020 session is a short session. It's a 1 month or 30-some days. 35 days.
But we all know a lot of shenanigans can happen in that short amount of time.
A lot of shenanigans can happen. And, I would think that with the pushback and the uprising that's happened in 2019 against the legislation that was both passed and the supermajority tried to pass in 2019, that the supermajority or the majority party, the Democrats, would be a little bit more cautious.
Yes.
I would think.
I think your normal reasonable person would think that.
Your normal, yes, your yes. If I've got swatted pretty hard, at work, the next day when I went in, I think I'd be walking on eggshells, and I'd try to be a little nicer and a little bit more concerned about those people I work with, and it'll be interesting to see if that's the case in this short session, or if it'll just be another sit down, shut up, we're going to do what we want to do, and we're going to take you voters along for the ride type deal.
Which would be a doubling down, I think on that. And when you think about the trucker rally, the timber unity rally, the medical moms, and all the people that were down there who, remember, again, we're representative republic, we're their bosses. So it's not even your coworkers, it's your boss is really unhappy with you.
True. Yeah, good point. Good point. And I in this last session, they went over the top. I refer back to the fact that Democrats are mad.
Yeah.
If you're making your base mad, if you're making a significant portion of your base mad, if you're making a portion of your base mad that results in them going to the Democrat booth to ask them to sign a petition to recall the chief executive officer of the whole shenanigan committee, it might be time to reassess.
You might want to take a note of that and maybe make a change.
Yeah, Brent and I have talked about that multiple times, that they're just going to bring it back up again. Yeah. House Bill 2020.
It'll be back.
And the gun bill and all that stuff. And I'm like, did they not learn? Did they not learn?
Well, it comes down to who do they work for? Yeah. They work for the contributor.
Yeah.
They work
and
for the...
We
the,
talk about that too, as well as the public employee unions. And
exactly.
Just dumping millions into it.
Yeah.
And you have to think about it, they've really kind of got all the time and all the money in the world. So if the hope is to just wear people down where they give up, I mean, that's where you really have to keep people motivated. And hence you've got this recall effort now, and it's a way to direct energies and keep people motivated and working towards a goal that is achievable, potentially.
It is.
I think the overreach had a lot to do with it, too. That tends to rise people up.
Yeah. And I've had conversations with people who are decidedly not on the same page as me politically. Mm-hmm. But when you strip away the sort of the R and the D label and you get down to the nuts and bolts of just being an Oregonian trying to live your life, we really have much, much more in common.
Right.
And I'm actually surprised. I would talk to one girlfriend of mine and I'm like, you're actually more of a libertarian than a Democrat. And
right.
She was kind of surprised, but as we were kind of ticking down through, and I have a strong libertarian bent myself, and so when you start ticking through, and it's amazing, again, when you have those one-on-one conversations, it's like, we kind of agree. Shocker, don't want to scare you, but we kind of agree.
Yeah, we do. We do. I mean, we all want to raise our families, yeah. and we all want to make enough money to live on, and we don't want the government to take our money. And that's really what the supermajority seems to be focusing on, is taking, number one, our money, mm-hmm. and as much of it as they can possibly get across all socioeconomic lines, and number two, taking our personal liberty.
Yeah, yeah.
I have that same bent.
Yeah.
And liberty is important to me.
I'm kind of like, stop with the banning of things. I never believe in banning of things. I've had many conversations in the past that listeners who may remember me know that I don't like banning plastic bags. I don't want to ban smoking in parks. I don't want to ban plastic straws. And I especially don't want to make bans come through. Number one, the government has no place getting involved in those things. But you don't do it based on bogus data. And a lot of this stuff is based on bogus data.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started on that.
The sea turtle, the 9-year-old research paper, then from a 9-year-old, not 9 years old, it was a 9-year-old who wrote the research paper.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. And it was an image of one straw. And again, and I have to give the Democrats credit on that. On the left, they're very good at spinning a narrative and tugging at heartstrings.
They are.
And if people who are, like we said, we're busy, we're living our lives, we don't necessarily have time to go research everything that comes along. But I'm finding these bans of everyday things that make Oregonians' lives better. Most Oregonians are not spewing plastic bags everywhere they go. They are not putting straws in animals' noses.
No,
they are
clean.
Responsible adults who clean up after themselves and do not need the government coming in to tell them what products they can and can't use or what they can put those products in at the grocery store.
I agree.
Yay.
That was my soapbox.
I had to build you a small one.
The banning things, and they do it at a city level too. The city of Salem banned plastic bags. Now it's at the state level. And that rankles me. And I think when people really start seeing, when you look over your shoulder and realize small little abuses along the way that you've allowed, going, well, all right, I'll just do this. And you kind of do that, shrug your shoulders as you go down the road and turn around, in 10 years and you're wondering where your liberty went.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. If you look at the second paragraph of the expanded wordage of the Stop the Abuse,
yes.
Stop the Abuse Recall Kate Brown statement. The first paragraph is, the people of Oregon recognize that government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed.
Yes.
They therefore demand a governor that honors the will of the voters and works for the good of all citizens, not just special interests and political agendas, like contributors. Mm-hmm. They understand it is their right to alter government, and that includes recalling people, when it does not abide by these principles. And the second paragraph reads that Governor Brown has subjected the people of Oregon to a long line of abuses of a power while at the same time refusing to address their legitimate concerns. And it's a long chain of abuses that I think manifested itself this year, yeah, with the walkout of Oregon 11, mm-hmm, with Timber Unity coming together, with the Medical Freedom coming together, and you know, we see it with the gun rights, mm-hmm, groups, and to a large extent we've seen it within the Republican Party as well. Lots of new people have come in and said, I'm fed up with this, I need to help do something.
Yeah, and mm-hmm, I think that's the key right there. People want to do something. I think we've kind of seen what inaction, you know, you sort of trusted that when you elect somebody that they're going to do, you know, they're going to kind of vote the way you want or hope that they will, and we're kind of seeing that we're not, and I think we've not done our due diligence as the other side of that partnership as constituents about holding their feet to the fire. And I think that's so critical, especially going into 2020. The other side of this, that, you know, the recall is one thing. The other side of it is every House member is up for re-election.
Yes.
We need to start flipping seats.
Every two years.
And everybody should have a challenger. We should make them stand on their record, defend their votes. And so that goes part and parcel. That is the partnership of what this all is. It's not just one piece of the puzzle that we're looking at here.
It is. It's a great system that we have here in America. Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity to turn all of our, we have term limits. We can terminate the term, mm-hmm, and limit the term of each and every representative, both at in D.C. and here in Oregon, every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
And we have a little, you know, at D.C. we have the 6-year overlap so that we have some, you know, institutional,
mm-hmm,
knowledge.
Sure.
In the Senate. In Oregon, it's every 4 years. We have that ability to do it. And it's so difficult in Oregon because we can go through this session where the voters are just raked over the coals. And we were talking a little bit earlier about the short session. It'll, mm-hmm, probably be the same.
Yeah.
And by the time we get to November, the media has covered it up. The collective memory is gone. The politicians lie again. I mean, they do that. And people eat it up and vote them in. I mean, I stood on the steps of the Capitol one day,
yep,
and I said, there's this many people over here and there's this many people over here, pointing to the House and to the Senate, that want to take your guns. It's imperative that you stop voting for these people, because I know some of you do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stop voting for these people, no matter what your union tells you, yeah, no matter what your mom and dad told you, your grandparents, you have to stop voting for these people.
I think that mindset is changing. I think that automatic, I'm going to vote, you know, R or D, depending on my parents, is changing. And I'm hopeful that it'll be looking at issues specifically. So we're going to take our last break. David, you're going to stick around and talk with us. I know this,
yeah,
goes by so fast. We're going to come back with David Darnell, representing Stop the Abuse, RecallKateBrown.com. This is Newsmakers Wednesdays with Denise, and we'll be right back.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And lavish studios they are. This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Welcome back to Newsmakers Wednesdays with Denise. I'm Dave Bourne, along with Denise Quinn, and David Darnell is joining us in the studio. David, how can people get involved and start in getting into the wave, so to speak?
Well, probably the most important thing that people listening to this broadcast should know, that there is a great deal of power to be had for the voter, for the citizen, for the individual, by putting a petition in your hand and going and knocking on your neighbor's doors, talking to your family, talking to your coworkers, talking to the people of church. We've had this process in Oregon in the Oregon Constitution for 100 years, mm-hmm. and it gives us, the people who actually run government, the governed who are giving our consent, mm-hmm. it gives us the final say. I mean, we are the final arbiter of everything that happens in Salem. So we can complain all we want about the overreach. We can complain about things that we don't like. But we can fix that by putting a petition in our hand and going and talking to people. It's extremely powerful.
I'm glad you said that, because for some reason it reminded me of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. She didn't know she had the power all along.
Right.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, I think Oregonians, you suffer that long line of abuses over a certain amount of time, and you kind of do get a little bit beaten down, and you don't realize that we always have had the power all along.
We have.
And it's time to marshal, to get up, to again, work within your sphere of influence. You don't have to go out there and cover the whole state. You talk to your friends, like you said, your sphere of influence, and that's where you can affect change.
Yeah. And people say it can't be done. And I say, well, with enough people, it can be done.
Yeah. Can't be done until it's done.
Yeah.
And it'll get done.
Yeah. So if, you know, if anybody wants a petition, if you're on Facebook, I know everybody doesn't use Facebook, but if you're on Facebook, you can find us. You can search Stop the Abuse, Recall Kate Brown. You can look at the Oregon Republican Party Facebook page. We have a group that you can join that will give you it'll give you ideas of where to get petitions, where signings might be occurring if you'd like to just sign. But if you'd like to grab petitions, you can get them online. You can send an email, petitions@oregon.gop. We have a number of links all over the digisphere that have petitions.
I like that, the digisphere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a technical term?
I just made it up.
That's okay. A good one.
I just
one.
Made
yeah,
it up.
It's a good one, yeah.
Slap a trademark on that
And
one.
What's the website in case nobody's on Facebook there?
The website is stoptheabuse-recallkatebrown.org.
There you go.
Yeah, and so there, you know, again, there's a lot of opportunities, ways to get involved. Talking to people, chatting people, printing petitions, going to petition drives. We are going to be having more of those. Again, you're going to see it all over the state fairs, county fairs. It's everywhere.
Right.
There's a groundswell. There really is. And I think you're seeing like-minded coalitions of people coming together that have a similar goal of kind of bringing back freedom and liberty in Oregon.
I think so.
A little squashed lately.
I think so. We were a pretty freedom-loving kind of maverick state for many, many years, for decades, for a century.
Yeah.
And it's only changed recently.
I like how somebody at the Timber Unity Rally pointed up to the top and said, "Look who's standing on the top of our Capitol."
Yeah, what's that axe for?
A logger.
What's that axe for on the big gold man?
Exactly. You know, and that pioneer spirit and that rugged individualism and, you know, all the stuff that we were prided ourselves on, and unfortunately is turning into one big giant nanny state. And
it is.
We got to stop that.
It is.
We got to stop that. Before we go, I do want to mention, though, there was a little bit of political news yesterday that happened. House District 19, Raquel Moore Green has been appointed to fill that seat. So I want to encourage people to congratulate her. She will, I'm not sure when she'll be sworn in. And again, this goes along with what I was talking about, that relationship. Constituents in HD19 need to hold her accountable. They need to hold her accountable for her votes. They need to educate her about issues that they are passionate about. Reach out. That's what her staff is there to do. Again, I don't know when she's going to be sworn in. I'm assuming very soon she's going to pop in for the short session. And then basically she's in re-election mode now,
right after that,
you got to start now raising money. Yeah. So I would encourage people again to reach out to her if you have issues that you're passionate about and want to make sure that she is an ally for you. You need to reach out, and it's part of that partnership. We don't just the relationship doesn't end with the vote. That's when it starts. Frankly, that's really when it starts.
I think that's part of the problem that has happened is that once we fill out the ballot and drop it off, when we just kind of forget about it.
Yeah,
you know, and let them do it in. Then they somehow misconceive that, okay, I have the power, I'm going to do what I want, and forget what everybody else put me in office for. I mean, they don't do town halls, they don't go and meet with constituents, they don't really get a pulse feel for what average Oregonians want, and
many
then,
of them,
they just kind of overreach.
Many of them do. What I find, though, is that people, if the person who is representing them is not of their same alphabet letter, that they don't go.
Let's talk too.
From Republicans. If you're represented by a Democrat, get your butt to their town hall meeting.
I've heard a lot of people, a lot of representatives tell me that they only hear from paid lobbyists.
Oh my, so, that's terrible. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, so a lot of times they don't have a balanced view on any given issue. So, you know, constituents should be the primary policy advisor.
Yeah. And again, I think we've sat back on the job in that regard. And yeah. I think what you saw was a realization this last session, that's not working for us.
It is not.
So I think what we're seeing is people getting up from that chair, getting involved, finding out how they can get involved, finding out. I mean, I'm shocked at how many people don't know who their representative. And then you go even later, they don't know who their city councilor is or their county commissioner. And so it's time. And I like that other outreach of getting people educated and finding out, and also encouraging people at the local level to run for office. You know,
exactly,
there are
yeah.
so many boards and commissions and all kinds of places that you can position yourself to start building up that political resume to put you in line then for offices a little higher up on the, you know, the election scale as far as how much money you need and how much time.
Yeah, but even if you're not inclined to go that far, everybody's busy. I mean, but you can volunteer for one of those boards mm-hmm. that consults to the other board and helps out the city council or the school board or, you know,
informs
any
policy.
Of that stuff. Yeah, and help form the policies that
in some of those positions, you will be the only candidate.
Yeah. And it's
really?
An appointment.
Yeah.
And
that's
it's an appointment
scary.
Process.
It is.
So it's, yeah, exactly. And then we have races throughout, you know, some of the more blue areas that we don't have challengers at all for these seats. And
no,
I think we need to at least have somebody, again, even if it's just to do the work of calling out the record, making them answer for their votes, and putting them on the record as far as why and what they voted for.
Well, a political race is supposed to be two people
right.
racing for a position, right?
Yeah.
And we need to have competition then.
I agree. No one should really be able to skate in scot-free.
It should be a contest.
Yeah,
voters should have a choice.
Competing ideas.
And yeah. being able to present them in civil discourse as adults and not sit there and scream and yell at each other or dox people and all the other shenanigans and garbage that we keep seeing on social media. Let's be adults. We all see the problem. We have different ways of getting to the solution. Sit down at the table and try to figure this stuff out.
That's right. Sign the petition. I'm going to download one and sign it and mail it back to you.
Sign the petition.
Yeah.
All right. We're coming up... A little over a minute.
Well, I don't know what more we can say about signing the petition. Again, that it is a way to...
Let's get the websites again from David Darnell.
That's a great thing to do.
Okay, websites.
StopTheAbuse-RecallKateBrown.org.
That's a website.
Yeah, and I think we can all agree that we have been abused, and it's time to stop it. I think the voters have been abused, the electorate has been abused, and it's time to go.
All right. Well, that's another exciting Wednesdays with Denise.
Lots of information packed into this hour. So,
yeah.
You know what? I'm always available. You can find me on social media. You can send Dave a message and he can get you my email address if you want to talk. David is the same way. There's a lot of people, you know, we did impart a lot of information and
mm-hmm.
I tend to talk fast sometimes, I know. So, we can get you the info.
And don't forget, if you're going to print down that petition, especially the 10-line one,
mm-hmm.
do it in Adobe Reader. Don't print it from the website.
Great advice.
Don't print it from the web browser because it will mess it up.
Good.
All right. In the last 20 seconds, thank you, David Darnell, for coming
in. Thank you, Dave.
And all the information.
And
I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, David.
We talked to you on the phone last Wednesday, but it's good to see you
Lots
in person.
Lots happened in a week.
Yeah, no
it
kidding.
Has.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's just flying by, too. This is Newsmakers Wednesdays with Denise. I'm Dave Bourne. I'll be back again tomorrow with Brent DeHart on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.